Okay, excellent. So everybody has a fundamental nemanus when it comes to bir chametz, and the Gemara, somewhat surprisingly, groups together people who sometimes are associated with each other in halacha, but not always. So we have nashim, we have avadim, and ketanim. So from the simple language of the Gemara, Yair, what are we meant to conclude? Oh, okay, very fascinating. Okay, so that's an interesting suggestion, that if you're not really obligated in something, okay, your argument is maybe like for Nashim it's a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Really interesting. So let's explore that. It's taking us in a slightly different direction than I would have gone, so that's really fascinating. Yair says, well, maybe you're not going to have nemanis in a halachic area that you are not fundamentally obliged in. So, yeah, you were thinking because Nashim are pturos in general from mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Okay, so that's interesting. Anybody want to make a counter argument and say, well, you know, that may be true. But yeah, you want to, it's always best when you counter argue with yourself. Go ahead. Okay, so you know that they're not, you know, sort of like, again, mitzvah saseh shezman grama. We generally assume that women have a major kiyum, and there's a debate between Ashkenaz and Sfarad whether they're going to make a bracha or not. Okay, Shemi, go ahead.
Maybe it's linked with chametz at lotah, they actually are obligated after all, just like with eating matzah.
Yeah, that's what we would probably assume. Okay, but Yair, that was a really interesting thought. Do we assume that nemanos will track with chiyuv? It's a really interesting kind of an idea. There is actually some halachic evidence, not in this particular area, but a notion in halacha that when something is not considered to be halachically material to a person, the Gemara does actually indicate that we may not have the same degree of confidence that the person is paying as careful attention to what's going on. So what you're saying is actually very instinctive. Okay, so yashir koach for that. So kol ne'amanim al bir chametz, afilu nashim, afilu avadim, afilu ktanim. There's something interesting about this formulation as well. Afilu nashim, afilu avadim, afilu ktanim. Anything jump out? If you're just a careful reader of the Gemara. Bernholtz?
If they're supposed to be like grouped together, like you wouldn't expect a progression.
Yeah, that's very good. So a lot of the Rishonim who end up being mechalik lehalacha and say actually, we said hakol ne'amanim, we didn't really mean it, actually are keying in on this textual point. So Noam, that was very careful reading, and very well done in that regard. Afilu nashim, afilu avadim, afilu ketanim. Sounds like ketanim, Noam, let me just stick with you for a second, are the outer boundary. Why might that be, like, instead of nashim? Based on something we were just exploring. Right, so ketanim can never have a chiyav on a Torah level. So that is quite sensible. Something else maybe also, even if you say that it's not tracking the chiyuv.
Just like they have a lower level of das.
Okay, good. Okay, so we assume that ketanim, and here they would typically be included with a different triad, right? As opposed to nashim, avadim, and ketanim, what triad would you likely find them in, Israel? There's a triad that ketanim are very often a part of, that chereshot v'katan. Okay, very good. So that's what Barinholtz wants to say, is that ketanim, it's not just a question of chiyuv, but it's also a question of das. Okay, so hakol ne'amanim al bir chametz afilu nashim, afilu avadim, afilu ketanim. Okay, everybody is going to believe on matters of bir chametz, and we're pushing this to the outer boundary of afilu ketanim. Okay, so go ahead, Yair, back in the Gemara. Okay, so what's the Gemara's initial assumption? So what's providing this credibility? Seems like a big chiddush that they're going to be credible. We're trying to figure out why that's such a chiddush. And then the Gemara says, okay, well, why should we believe them? Is it not because that really, what does the Gemara mean when it says, lav mishum dechazkaso ba'adok? Just let's form Rami, go ahead.
It's almost like a group effort comes in, like that they're all working together with this Padika, the whole Haviri.
Oh, well, before we get there, just, you know, it's an important intervening step. Ilan?
Yeah, there's a Padaka in the house of one, so they're not saying something to change in the CS, they're just coupled in what we expect to happen.
Yeah. So, Ilan, let's just try to sharpen that a little bit. I think that's really important. So one way of saying it, let's say the maximalist position on this line in the Gemara, is to say we don't really believe them. Their statement is largely insignificant. That there's a chazaka. So Hakol Ne'emanim is almost a melitza. You know, we don't really need them for anything. So they're just affirming a status quo that we assume exists. So, Ilan, what's a more moderate way of putting that? You were, I think, suggesting a slightly more moderate. We do need them, but... Okay, good. So if we could just translate that into a little bit, you know, put some halachic language that. So normally we'd be azlin and basaruba, right? Or echazaka in this case. So you want to say, like, oh, there's a miyut. So we wouldn't have to normally be choshesh for a miyut, let's say, on the daraisa level. If you're not Rabbi Meir, you're not choshesh in the miyuta. So maybe their namonas here, if you assume that it's based on a cheskas baduk, is because it's only derabanan. Okay, so that would be one way of translating this all into halachic terminology. So we assume that this is the case anyway, and somebody comes along and then says, oh, by the way, you know, bir chametz took place. So we're not looking them to establish facts, but it is helpful for them to validate our assumptions. And then, okay, we have this line, Dekasavar Haitana, Hakol Chaveirim Heim Eitzel Bedikas Chametz. So Chaver here is not a social term. Okay, but Ben Sion, what is the indication here? Hakol Chaveirim Heim Eitzel Bedikas Chametz. Yeah, and it implies, specifically for our purposes, that they therefore have
credibility.
Yeah, exactly right. Everybody has credibility in this area. Kol chaverim heim etzel b'dikas chamed. So this is generally not something that the halacha is willing to give away. Credibility in specific areas very often has to do with training, with our sense of who the person is spiritually overall. People, let's say, who are involved in a particular avera, even if it's letayavon, have no nemanos on that particular area of halacha. A person is, God forbid, a mumar l'chal shabbos b'far hesya, so they have no credibility in any area of halacha. And there are specific halachic areas that we really do consider to be the training and realm of experts only. And therefore, you know, really only experts are able to give us any kind of meaningful information about it. But the good news is that we assume that people who aren't experts don't have the temerity to weigh in on these topics. What are the two classical examples of this? Okay, so that's really interesting because we're going to see in a second, you know, that example. But that's not exactly true because what principle do we have? This is why Dmai is only a din derabanan. We actually have... Yeah, so Levi, just remind me, what are the two areas where we say Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel X Bikiyin Hein, Mumchen Hein, and therefore we're going to believe people are involved in this because we just assume that if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to stay far away. Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shchita Mumchen Hein, that in Hilcho Shchita, and the other area... The Rishonim extend this principle to mikvahs. Okay, that's why we try to keep the mikvah locked, because we don't want people going in there. Combination locks, door locks. It's because credibility is associated with this robe. It's only if this robe is actually intact. You have people going in and out, so that can undermine some of these areas. Okay, but the Tanya, go ahead, Yair. Chaver Shemes. Okay, so Harehen Bechazkas Misukanim. We assume that Trumos and Maestros have already been separated. The big chiddush here is not that he separated Trumos and Maestros, because we assume that even Amei Haaretz are Ma'asrin, but what's the chiddush here? That Afilu Hein B'nei Yoman, that we assume that he does so immediately. Okay, there's this principle here at play of Ein Chaver Motzi Davar Mitachas Yado Sheinu Misukan. There are some people where, you know, the minute that they get that bill in the mail, they're making out that check. The envelope, it's going back in the mail. There's some people, it's going onto their desk. There's some people, it's going onto the bottom of a pile somewhere, and they're not going to find it. So, Ein Chaver Motzi Davar Mitachas Yado She'eno Misukan. Now, again, the Rabbeinu Chananel points out that, you know, this relies on certain cognitive faculties being intact, but be that as it may, okay, umi mai, go ahead, yeah, here. So that's what Ilan was trying to, you know, get at is, no, maybe here we're actually truly relying on them. Shani hacha mishum dekam yihani, it's, they're the ones that are saying it. It's not based on any chezkas baduk. They're creating a halachic reality for us. They're telling us halachic information that we otherwise could not assume. These nashim, these avadim, these ktanim. And Shimi, when we're dealing with ktanim, we'd have to start asking questions like, how old? Right? Katan shelo higia lechinuch? A four-year-old, you know? How far are we willing to extend this out? Now that's a big, you know, it's a big leap. Okay? Mishum dekami hani, that the katan comes along and says, this is what was. Okay? Now, even here, we have to inject something which isn't explicit in the Gemara. Sometimes in halacha, that even if we're relying on somebody's statement, even if it's a person that generally speaking does not have credibility or ne'emanus, there are ancillary reasons that we might believe them. So let's just identify a few of them. Like, well, let's take this Havamina really seriously and say, oh, you know, even a five-year-old was running in and coming and telling us, we would believe him that Bedikas Chametz actually happened in a particular location. So let's try to think why that would be the case, even though it seems preposterous to say that a five-year-old is going to be able to create a halachic reality for us. Like, what, you know, he's five. You know, can we really trust him? Okay, so what are some of the halachic factors that will cause us to rely on people that otherwise would not be deemed particularly credible? Eitan? Okay, so that is an important consideration. Sometimes we feel completely stuck in modern Batei Din. That becomes a major factor in terms of one of the groups that we mentioned. Okay, so let's look for at least two other areas. Even to the point where, let's say, you'd be willing to trust somebody who wasn't Jewish. Ilan? Okay, so Eidos Isha is because... Well, right, but why were the Chachamim inclined to accept? What was the counter pressure there? That seems like an extraordinary situation. That's what I thought Eitan was getting at also. Why do we believe people that we normally wouldn't believe in such a case? Mishum iguna ikilu barabana, right? It's just the overwhelming need for something, for somebody to tell us something that can free a woman from a life of suffering. So, mishum iguna ikilu barabana. But there are two halachic klalim that's very important for your Shas Yedios to know. One of them is called Uman lo mafsid umnusa. Probably would not apply here. But we'd actually be willing to rely on non-Jews who typically cannot give us halachic information because they would be concerned about losing their parnasa. There's all kinds of halachos of bittel and taroves where we say, why don't we have, you want to know if something is no Saint Tom? You want to know if it's contributing, you know, to this taroves? So, go ask a kvela arma. Go ask somebody who's an expert in taste who happens not to be Jewish. There's no iser for him. So they, what kind of ne'emanus is that? So we have a tradition, uman lo mafsid umnusa, that people don't want to lose their parnasa. They're not going to lose. So on that basis, that's basically how all of industrial kashrus works. And people who are testifying, if you, let's say you're part of, you probably guys have probably heard Rabbi Adler say this many times, if something is part of a franchise, right? people are not going to breach a contract because they're going to lose their entire business if they're not actually serving you the Baskin-Robbins flavor, but they went down the street to Jimmy's because they ran out of strawberries, so they're giving you Jimmy's Trafe strawberry. That's a breach of contract. They'll lose their franchise. So that's why franchises can sometimes have an additional nemonis. That does not seem like it could possibly be relevant here, especially when you're dealing with a katan. Probably violate child labor laws. So what exactly, what could be backing up this katan if it wasn't a cheskas baduk? What is sometimes a very strong source of credibility in the halacha? Noam. It starts with the phrase starts with the word milsa. Leave? So what Leib is saying is actually something very creative. He's saying he doesn't actually have to tell us there's no chametz here. He may only have to tell us that people did. They saw his father and mother running around with a spoon and a feather and a candle, you know, because he snuck out of bed. So we can assume that they did a good job. Okay, that's a really interesting idea that will lower the bar in terms of what he actually has to say. What was I thinking about? That maybe this is something called a milsa de avida ligluye. What is that principle in halacha? Levi, go ahead.
Something else is going to be revealed anyway, so I would trust you when you say this, because if you think that it wasn't true, then you find out anyway. I think somehow you referenced this earlier when you talked about Edith Isha, about the husband coming back, because I think that's a similar principle also.
Yeah. Okay, so that I think, you know, could potentially underlie this statement in the Gemara, but the Gemara gives a hava mina mimaito mashani hacha mishum dika amri hani. Okay, so Yair, go ahead. The Gemara is almost like indignant about it, not just incredulous, but indignant. Atu amira dahani midi mashasha yisbei. It's significant. What do we care what they say? So the Gemara like is docha b'shtei yadayim. It's an amazing line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "What, you would care what they would tell you?" Like dripping with, you know, indignation. Nashim, avadim, ktanim, they're going to establish, you know, halachic facts for you. An outrage. It must be, rather, that they're not establishing any halachic facts. The halachic facts are predicated on the recognized Torah principles. Hare samcha Torah bechazkasos. Okay, so that it's the chazaka that's driving all this. Right? All right, good. So yeah, go ahead. Alamai dechazkaso baduk. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Don't push me away too fast. Hi. It says, Akol Ne'amanim, that these people are all credible. If what you're telling me is true, this is good textualism. Kol Ha. Hi, Yair. Go ahead. So what should the text say? If what you're saying is true, that it's all based on a cheskas baduk, so let that be what is actually stated. Kol habatim, that all locations, b'cheskas bedukin b'arabos are mibayle. Elamai, mishum. Dahani, halo amihane. Lo, tifshot minei, de'ein, cheskas o baduk. It has nothing to do with some kind of pre-existing assumption that we're able to make about Bedikas Chametz having been done. We have no idea what happened here. No idea. You don't know. And, you know, again, little Stevie comes along and he says, Bedikas Chametz happened. That's going to be a bridge too far for some of the Rishonim. Or if it's not little Stevie, it's at least Stephanie comes along and says, Bedikas Chametz happened. And that's going to be sufficient. We're going to rely on them. Tifshut minei de'ein cheskas o baduk. Okay, so go ahead, Yair. Hello. Cheskas o baduk, that really, by default, we would assume that bedikas chametz had been done. V'hacha b'maya skinan. D'mochzak lan de lo baduk. There we have inside information in a very specific case that bedikas chametz was not done. So now we're back to square one. V'k'amri hane. Oh, So now they're coming along and saying something a little different. Not that Bedikas Chametz was done, but that... What are they saying, Levi? What's the Gemara's slight revision here? The Afilu Nashim, Afilu Avadim, Afilu Ktanim, they're coming along and saying, Muchzak Landelo Badak, that in this particular location, homeowner Ralph does not do Bedikas Chametz. You know, he posted so on social media. But Mrs. Ralph,
he did it?
She did it.
Ooh, okay. V'ka'amri hane badkine mahu desema yair. It sounds like the conclusion of the Gemara is that we're willing to believe them in light of two factors. What's clearly you're the dominant factor? You just finished reading the words. That what's at stake here is only a dirabanan. Doraisa has been neutralized. That's the way the Gemara sounds. That's number one. And number two, again, there is that slight revision. Go ahead, Rami. Well, that's the explanation as to why it's a Dirabanan. But give me something else.
That the Bedikas Chametz itself is only a
Dirabanan. Levi?
If the Rabbanan are willing to be lenient when it comes to Rabbanan?
Well, that's the first factor. But what was the second factor?
That she herself said she did it.
Okay. So that seems like that's a very important shift in the Gemara. What do we call that? What do we call that? Now, they may not actually have to have done it themselves, but maybe at least they'll have to have had the...
Is that like a Miko?
Close. Okay, so this is in one word. The Bali Atosos happened to mention it for those who discussed it a little bit in Bikias as well. That's called Biyado. Okay, so that there's a Namanas predicated on the fact that we believe somebody capable of doing something. Muchzak lan delo badak homeowner v'kami hani badkine. Ma'u d'seim alon hemnu rabbanan kamash malon kevin d'bdikas chamit rabbanan hu midarais v'taliyam asagile hemnu rabbanan b'dirabbanan. This Gemara does not create a precedent that nashim avadim and ketanim would be believed on any mili d'rabbanan. That'd be a gross misrepresentation of what this Gemara is saying. It says, being a Dirabanan is necessary, but not necessarily sufficient. Seems like it's predicated on a combination of two often independent halachic factors, Biyado and Dirabanan. I'll just read the first two lines in the Tosos. Have no Rabbanan, but Dirabanan, Navagav, Bechol, Davar, Shu, Biyado, Me'aminan, Lehu, Lenashim, Be'avadim, Be'afilu, Midarais, Demaisim, Bechol, Yom, etc., etc. So the Bali Atosos say, well, wouldn't that be enough on its own if it was Biyado? Maybe even if it was a Doraisa, we should have believed them. So the Bali Atosos are reading the Gemara carefully, and they understood that the Gemara Ilan is pointing out that there are two different halachic factors that are contributing to the credibility of these groups. Biyado, and the fact that it is only a Din Dirabanan, which is at stake. Let's take a look at Rashi and his reading of the Gemara. It's going to vary greatly, obviously, from the Bali Atosos, as you're all aware. So let's take a look. Go ahead, Yair. My time on Emonin. Hi, love. Going back to Amud Aleph. One more. Nemonin al Bir Chametz. Lahai Verbasar. We started out by saying they would be credible on the 14th. Go ahead, Yair. This is a little before that. Nemanan al bir chametz lahayd rabba asar, that they be believed at that time shabad kubay levemesh. Again, the initial assumption of the Gemara is they're testifying about what transpired in a particular home, not that they were somehow personally involved. Okay. The Smiths checked for their chametz. My time and them on in. Hola, b'nei. These are all psulei edus. It must be that we're not really somech on their amira, that we have external halachic weight. Fascinating. What's Rashi saying? Why would it be that there's such a thing as a cheskas baduk to begin with? What's the svara ben Sion that Rashi's giving for that? Exactly. That even if a person is not maaretz l'chol davar shebetorah, that we believe that there's like a special zrizos, it's like a din prati, like a special zrizos in bedikas chametz. Fascinating. Devadai lo avar zel debri chachamim afilu ar maaretz l'shar dvarim chaveru lady in bedikah. It's like the opposite of shchita and mikvos that I was saying, that some special qualifications are required. No! Bedikas chametz is like the lowest of bars. Everybody loves to get a candle. Everybody loves to get the feather. We wouldn't believe him about anything else. Okay, go ahead, Yair. Hi, Tana. Kol chaver meitzel bedika, v'afilu ha-ma'aretz, v'davar shu mochzak. So again, we're not really relying on these nashim, these avadim, these tanim, because we believe, like, even the lowest, you know, information voters, quote-unquote, the lowest information individuals, the amaretz l'chol davar, they really do bedikas chametz anyway. So again, you know, when little Stevie comes along and says, yo, bedikas chametz happened, you know, we're already predisposed to believe that in the most dramatic sense, okay? D'tanya chaver. And he leaves over all these fruits. That you put them into a pile that day. Okay, the bar is so low. Okay, now this is the sharp pivot in the Gemara. Omi mai, how do you know that's really what's going on here? Daha. V'taima mishum dekamihane anu ra'inu, we saw it with our own two eyes. Shebedako, that he checked this particular location. Okay? And the raya for that approach is, if it was based on the cheskas baduk, the language is all wrong. Kolabati mecheskas bedukim miboyle the misni. Velo havel mitle beamira dahani. It shouldn't have been contingent upon anything that they said. Umakshinan. Miditala beamira, because we made it contingent on their statement. Vadaika. Hello, Amri. Lo. That had they not said it, it wouldn't be a halachically acceptable fact. Im Cain. Mibailach, Tifshun Minah, the Ein Cheskas Obaduk, that there really is no chazaka that Bedikas Chametz is done anywhere on the 14th. Umishani, Mehalaka Lameda, Klamifshat, Midi the Ikma Lukma Laha. We can think of in Okimta, Kigon, the Mukhsaklan Behaidel Obaduk. Maybe generally we do assume it, but as we said in the Gemara, we have some inside information that the homeowner in this particular location did not do bedikas chametz. Go and share inu tarud. We saw Ralph again. You know, he was again posting on social media, or he was, you know, fixing the roof or what have you. Oh, yatsami bodyom l'derech. Ve'amri hani anachnu bad kinuhu. There's a fundamental change in the fact pattern that these individuals are coming along and saying enachanami. Ralph did what Ralph does, which is he likes to spend our Pesach on the roof, but we went in there to take care of the chametz. They're not testifying about what it was that he did. And the Gemara says, "Bebitul bi'alma." Go ahead, Yair. Oh, so this is a Rashi that we've mentioned now many times. Hashbasa delev qualifies as hashbasa. So this is a kiyum daraisa of tashbisu. This is where the Balei Tosfos, you know, obviously disagree with respect to bitul mitam hefker. So they'll tell you that you've just neutralized bal yirah bal yimatzeh on the daraisa level. Now that's the critical line. Hemnu rabbanan bidrabbanan. Go ahead, Yair. Bechiyuva de leisale midrabanan. Damirasan shel elu vekoach biyadehem lehaminan bimidi de lav de oraisa. So Rashi has a very elegant explanation of hemnu rabanan midrabanan. What is that explanation? How would you formulate that? Yair. Why is it that we say, oh, you know, is it just like random? We say, okay, well, we'll not believe them for Doraisas, but we'll leave them for Dirabanans. What's the mechanistic explanation for that? Ben Sion, go ahead. So you're saying it really well. Let's see. First and goal. Let's try to push it over. David, go ahead, from New York.
I was just going to say that because the Chacham created the Chiyuv, then if it's something that they have like control over, then they
exactly can. That Gufa, the Chachamim, who created the Chiyuv, an intrinsic part of the Takana of Bedikas Chametz, was to give credibility to all classes of individuals. That was built into the Takana itself. Rabbinic legislation, Bedikas Chametz, Article 1. Orle Arbasar, Bodkines HaChametz, Lor Haner. Article 2. All classes of individuals will be credible with respect to Bedikas Chametz. They crafted the legislation. So the mechanism is rabbinic legislation per se. Heim Hetiro, Lismoch, Bami Rasan, Shalelu, Vekoach, Biyadeim. The rabbis can do that. They're the architects of the legislation to begin with. It's intrinsic to the nature of Bedikas Chametz itself. Okay, so that's a very, very, very important principle. Rashi's explaining what the mechanism is. It's not random. We're just saying, okay, we'll lower the bar, and you know, people who are psula edos, so we'll just accept their testimony in matters that are rabbinic. So Rashi's saying that no. You have to look at the specific area, and in this particular area where the rabbis fashioned the legislation of Bedikas Chametz, so they also built in that various psulei edus d'oraisa would be able to be credible. But again, we still have to factor in, as I noted before, is this really a precedent that psulei edus d'oraisa are going to have namanas carte blanche across the board in mili d'rabanan? It certainly does not sound that way because of the factor of Biyado, exactly. So that's what the Balei Tosfos are going to try to figure out, is when you're combining these two factors of Biyado as well as Emili Dirabanan, when are each of them necessary and not independently sufficient? Okay, so we'll hold it up there. Let me take one question, because leave you are on the record. Then we'll dive in Mincha, and then another Shir wants to use this space.